You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. Not quite as early as I wanted to get it done, but we are in the thick of it right now, which is good, right? Been in the thick of it. Starting from last Thursday going on, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Like Jim Harbaugh, with renewed energy. Lots of renewed energy. Feel really good about everything right now. Definitely got to touch on some things that happened kind of in the late Big Ten media days. So we'll do that today. When I say late Big Ten media days, I mean second day. And then I'm going to also talk about the tough event that happened in Detroit on Saturday. Not as much about the event, but about some things from the players, from Gus Johnson, who I spoke to. That's right. Within one week, got both Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. Some things I did not know about Gus Johnson. Obviously, really great thing that he did by donating $30,000. And then I want to touch on, and maybe this is a bigger podcast, and maybe I kind of almost want to make a whole podcast on it, but we're going to just squeeze it in for a segment. We're going to talk about Mega Conference. I like adding mega to things. Like when I got my king bed, it became mega bed, you know? Mega Conference. I came up with the idea today because I've heard it kind of bandied about listening to SiriusXM while driving a lot the last couple days about people feeling like a 30-team conference is probably inevitable. So I created one. Six divisions, five teams each. Pod situation. Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. I hated the idea before I created this, and then now I'm kind of like, let's go. Let's do it. So we'll get to that, I guess, at the end, because I want to lead with the Michigan stuff. Let's start with day two of Big Ten Media Days. I left a little early. Like, I didn't stay for Ryan Day's full hour, for instance. But what I did do was, like, I was part of Ryan Day's scrum that was 3 minutes. Man, they really make him available a lot. Because when I arrived at Lucas Oil at, like, 10:30, he was already off to the side when completely with a big scrum around him. Then he goes up on the stage, the last speaker on the stage, 15 minutes there, gets off. We get him for another, like, 3-4 minutes. And then they have him for a full hour. The amount that Ryan Day and Ohio State give access is incredible. Urban Meyer was the same way. I mean, that's a lot. But I think that, like, I asked some Ohio State guys about Michigan and, like, really about, like, their recruitment. Like, I tried to ask Zach Harrison, you know, was it difficult to turn that switch off? And, like, how close, you know, when you were really considering Michigan. So when you get to Ohio State, how do you turn that switch off? Didn't really get a good answer. How close was Michigan? We already know the answer, but I wanted to hear it from him, if possible. How close was Michigan to getting his commitment? Very close, he said. But nothing really there. I mean, in my opinion, yeah, I wrote the article. Here's what Ohio State players are saying about Michigan. It's kind of like you have to do it. You know what I mean? But I don't think they said anything crazy. I think the big thing was that I got to go around, talk to Jake Ferguson, as I said, on Wednesday's podcast, I had hoped to do. I talked to Michael Penix and I talked to Ty Freifogel. Those are the only ones I really got to talk to, because some of the Rutgers, you know, I wanted to talk to Bo Melton from Rutgers, and he was going, I believe, at the same time that Michigan people were, so it just wasn't going to happen, right? I don't remember who from Penn State was there that I wanted to talk to, but that would have been that. Didn't necessarily get anything, like, crazy from Penix and Ty Freifogel. It was, I mean, they just kept on crediting the game plan, right? But, I mean, the game plan is just kind of, you know, putting you into a position to succeed, I guess. And Jake Ferguson was kind of similar. But, like, I asked him flat out, said, did you feel like it was predictable? And he's kind of like, a little. He's like, by the end, but then later he kind of says, like, well, the game plan really made it feel like every time we'd line up against them, we kind of had a beat on what Michigan was doing. So I thought that was interesting. Let's move on right now because I want a time to talk about mega conference, and I want to talk about the all this other stuff. So I will start with the Gus Johnson stuff. We'll talk about him for about 4 minutes, and then we'll move on to the player stuff in the next segment. But number one, awesome to see Gus giving back. He says he's late because he's a Detroit native. He got his nickname with the Detroit West Side Cubs, his coach, Coach Price. First day, he said he showed up. His name's Augustus. Shows up, and he's like, the coach called him Gus. Stuck ever since. But donated $30,000. There was another $10,000 donation from elsewhere, and $30,000 match from Fox Sports. Donated uniforms, shoulder pads, cheerleader uniforms, scoreboard, all kinds of stuff. So really cool. That was put on by Tuff, the Adam Shibley founded organization, which meant there were a lot of Michigan players there. But got a chance to talk to Gus on and off the record for a while. And I have the article, the On the Record article, up on Wolverine's Wire. So check that out. It's not getting the kind of love that the Joel Klatt one is. So I highly implore you to read it, because here's the thing that I did not know. Because I didn't know anything of Gus Johnson's background except for he was from Detroit, which makes you think, maybe he's a Michigan fan. But he is. He is a Michigan fan. His dog's name is Bo, named after Bo Schembechler. He is a big Michigan fan. And as someone pointed out in the Twitter comments, he said, like, we've got to be better. That tells you all you need to know, right? He's talking like a fan. And I think that speaks very well to his professionalism, because, you know, I know quite a few people who are, you know, born and bred Detroit who are big Ohio State fans. So and if you watch Johnson calling Ohio State games, you'd almost think he's an Ohio State fan, you know, when he starts getting into the J.K. Dobbins, you know, Chris Olave, you know, like the way he says it, you know, like the fact, you know, that he gave J.K. Dobbins his notes from the game, after the game, the Big Ten championship game the 1 year. But you can see like when you're talking to him in person about Michigan, how much it breaks his heart the way it's gone. And like he said, and there's things I didn't include just because he asked me to be judicious with the things that I included, because he was talking as a fan, not as a play-by-play quarter reporter, not the, you know, premier guy that Fox has for all college sports. You can see the heartbreak. Lots and lots of heartbreak. But he's like, I like Jim. Listen, I really, really like Jim. But, he's got to do better. It's embarrassing. He's like, you know, Jim knows this. He's like, Jim knows I feel like this. I'd say this to his face. So, yeah, Gus knows what Michigan needs to do. He feels Michigan just needs a quarterback, which is not very dissimilar from Joel Klatt, who says they need a quarterback and an offensive line. I think they also need the linebacking core to step up, but Joel Klatt thinks front seven's going to be really good. I feel a lot better about it. A lot better about it than I did before. Especially because now, okay, we have some clarity as to what this front seven is going to look like. So let's talk about that here in a moment. But first, I got to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. High protein, low calorie, low carb. I eat two at a time because they're that delicious. They are so good. I buy a box of 18, especially the peanut butter brownie ones. Those things are gone before you can know it. I actually haven't bought another box in the last little while because I'm like, I don't have the self-control right now. Got to get my sugar cravings under control. But it doesn't have a lot of sugar, but my sweet tooth, you know what I mean? I'll be getting another box here in like a week or two. But nonetheless, I've bought dozens of my own money. You know, sometimes you hear advertisements and you wonder, like, how much does that person use that thing? Well, I actually like put my money where my mouth is when it comes to Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15, get 15% off of your next order from Built Bar. All right. So, I feel a lot better about the linebacking core. I feel a lot better about everything, to be honest. Maybe I'm getting suckered in the way that some of y'all feel suckered with the hype. But I've had off-the-record conversations now with... And I can share this because this is, you know, people know I was at this event, you know? People know I was at Big Ten Media Days. People know I was at this tough event. But I had off-the-record conversations with Josh Ross. I had off-the-record conversations with Cade McNamara, with Mazi Smith. I feel a lot better about where this team is headed. I feel like this is way different. Like, the attitude that these guys have is different. And listen, like I've told you, I had a source in the Michigan program who told me during spring. I had run into said source at a car wash here by my apartment, which is the closest car wash to Schembechler Hall. I mean, I've seen Juwan Howard at that car wash. Everyone uses it. It's really good. And I said, you know, like we keep on hearing in the Zoom press conferences that the energy is hype or whatever. And he's like, oh, and this person's been around for a long time. He's like, it's for real. Like, it's everything is completely different. I really gathered that by talking to some of these people. Coming off of Big Ten Media Days, Harbaugh attitude adjustment, all that stuff. Like, I came away from Saturday. I mean, I already came away from Indianapolis feeling like this feels different. And now I came away on Saturday feeling that it really feels different. Will it translate? I don't know, because the big caveat still exists, like I said on Friday. You have to beat Washington. If you don't beat Washington, all bets are off. Because we've seen Michigan teams come into a season with swagger. This doesn't feel like swagger as much as it feels like togetherness, though. Like, before, a lot of times, I think it was false bravado. You know? I think I've told you guys before, like before the Wisconsin game. In 2019, Shea Patterson gave me a fist bump and said, we're going to kill him. Or something like that. I don't think he said we're going to kill him, but he said, what'd he say? He didn't say we're going to kill him. He said something like, they got to watch out or something like that. They're not going to know what hit him. I don't remember now. I've told you that guys that forever ago. But I don't feel like it's that false bravado anymore. I feel like now it's like we are in this together. And I started transcribing Josh Ross from Thursday. And I didn't get very far because I started working on Mega Team because the inspiration hit me and I just could not get it out of my head. But Mega Conference, not Mega Team. But just like talk, you know, he's talking about the togetherness of this team and how. Let me see if I can pull it up real fast. It says it's definitely player driven. Last year was a tough year. Coming off that, there was a lot of bad taste in my teammates' mouth, even coaches as well, a bad taste in everyone's mouth, even fans, everybody. We know coming back, we are never going to let that happen again, for us, for everybody, because we know how great we can be, and it's starting with us as players. If it doesn't start with us, then it can't grow. I feel like that is a different mindset, and I feel like it's actually happening, right? It's not just... There's going to be all these people that say, like, you know, do more, say less, which is complete BS. I've seen it on Twitter even today, just people being like, oh, these Michigan guys always talking. They're going to talk at Big Ten Media Days, right? Like, you think they're just going to sit there for an hour and say no comment? And then people would have these cocky Michigan fans, or what are they hiding? Michigan is such a lose-lose. Nonetheless... it's not just that they're saying it, but I'm seeing it. in action, just how close these guys seem to be. Especially like Josh Ross and Aiden Hutchinson seem like they really feel, and I mean Hassan Haskins too. I mean, just like this proverbial pull towards them. And Cade McNamara, I think Cade's, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, I have not been sold on Cade being the starting quarterback because I think, you know, a lot of people want to see JJ. I look at Alan Bowman's stats and my eyes start to glow, you know. Cade's got the right attitude. And I had a pretty, like, my conversation with Cade was filled with candor. I think he's got the exact right attitude, and I think he's had the attitude that's been missing. Y'all know how much I love Shea and Wilton particularly. And I mean, Jake Rudock was my guy too. John O'Korn was my guy. I mean, I really know a lot of these guys, obviously. You know, like I've talked to Jake. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I was like the only Michigan reporter he was following on Instagram, and you know, I'd see him when he was in town. I mean, when you know, he was with the Lions, but I'd see him when he was in town. Wilton, and I knew Wilton since he was never even in the place to be a starting quarterback. John O'Korn obviously had the, we had a hour-long conversation last year around this time breaking down the Purdue game and oral history of it. I know Shea Patterson going back to 2016 when he was in the All-American game, and continue to be close with the Pattersons to this day. Joe Milton, I've been a huge proponent of. That said, I think that the player that's got the best attitude out of all of them is Cade. Because he has this, he has a mixture of, I have to be a leader. I need to be the guy everyone looks to, but I am also one of 11. And I'm not saying those other guys didn't have that. I just feel like it's so much more pronounced with Cade. I think he has the absolute right attitude. It's one of those things where I can tell you how it feels all you want, but it doesn't, I can't express how it feels in the correct way, but I felt it, right? Dude's a leader. Y'all have seen the video. Heck, he's seen the video. But, you know, post Rutgers. But I think that he's got the right mentality. I think that Josh Ross has the right mentality. I feel better about the linebacking core because now it's, you know, before it was like, okay, I'm thinking about the middle linebackers as being the bulk of the linebacking core. But now we kind of know a little bit more that it really is two defensive ends on the edge. Maybe some of them move around, right? Like, you might still have a four-man front, essentially. But David Ajabo really coming on. His name's been mentioned a few times as the guy that's going to be really good. You know, Aiden and Taylor, Michael Barrett, Josh Ross. And I'm feeling a little bit better about some of those other guys. What Josh Ross said about Junior Colson, I have to rewatch it because I'm just remembering from Thursday, but he's like, you guys have no idea what this guy can do. I feel better about it. And Joel Klatt's really confident the front seven's going to be good. I'm closer to the situation than him, but he's got a 30,000-foot view. He might be right. You might be right. All right, I want to talk about Mega Conference. We've got about 8 minutes to be able to do so, so I'm going to get to that here. But before we do, betonline.ag, y'all know how much I also appreciate this service for those who do the betting. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, Major League Baseball, I'm reading an old script. Football might be over, NBA's over, NHL's over, Major League Baseball in full swing. That's what I get, reading an old script that I normally change on the fly. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. So head over to BetOnline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. No, my volume's changing here. This mic is really good, but there's times where, like, I'm looking at the waveform as I record, and it's like, I don't know that it's anything I can control very well, because I'm not an audio engineer. If you listen to any of the songs that I try to record, it's very evident I'm not an audio engineer. I don't know how to mix these things, so apologies. I'm looking at it being quiet and not quiet. Turn my head towards my computer. I mean, it's right in front of my face, but I have to move ever so slightly. Anyway, mega conference. That's loud. Let's get into it. I hated this idea before I put it together, but I just couldn't. Like, I started it this morning when I first got up before I got out of bed, and I was like, nah, I hate this idea. I'm not going to do it. And then I started doing it, and it started coming together. And then I started to love it because I love the idea of what the schedule would look like on a given year. Because you know what I love most about college football? Non-conference play. What would you get in mega conference? Essentially, all the non-conference play, right? Because I as much as I like the Big Ten and I like watching the SEC, and as exciting as it is to see like South Carolina versus Tennessee, which by the way is part of mega conference, but I'm much more intrigued when I see that Georgia's playing Clemson to open the season, or that week three Penn State's hosting Auburn, right? Michigan, Washington, Ohio State, Oregon. That is what gets me excited. And in mega conference, you get to have it for a full conference slate. Yeah, I'm still making a conference and a non-conference slate. Here's how it works. This is my own thing. I did the pod system, essentially. Every team is in a five-team division. There are six divisions. Every team would play all the other schools in their division, so there's four games there for each. And then they would play one team from each of the other divisions. So let's just take a school. Since I have on the top, I have the West Coast Conference. So I have the West Coast Conference, the Midwest, the North, the Mid-South, the South, and the East Coast. Let's just take a school here. Let's start with, look, USC is my top school here. So USC would play three teams it already plays generally on a relatively regular basis. Oregon, Washington, and Stanford. I included three group of five schools here in the entire thing, so out of 30 teams. Boise State made it, so they're in the West Coast. So USC would also play Boise State. I mean, that's intriguing. What's more intriguing is that you go through, USC would have to play a team from the Midwest. Let's say they play, I have Oklahoma, for instance, in the Midwest Conference. The Midwest Conference is Iowa, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Wisconsin. So you got USC, Oklahoma. How awesome is that? Then they have to play the North Conference. Say USC's playing Michigan. USC's playing Ohio State. USC's playing Cincinnati, Michigan State, Notre Dame. All of those are intriguing. Then they have to play the Mid-South Conference, which is that little area, Texas, Alabama, and Louisiana. And Mississippi, but I have no Mississippi schools in this, but so USC, let's say it's USC Texas again. USC Alabama. USC LSU. This is part of the regular season schedule. Part of the conference. Then they also have to play a team in the South. And keep in mind, they're going home. Or, you know, they're going to be home or it's going to be on the road, whatever. They play Florida, Florida State, Miami, UCF, or Georgia. USC Georgia. That's fun. USC Florida, that's fun. USC Florida State, USC Miami, all of it's fun. And the East Coast Conference, which is my least favorite of all of them, but it could be USC Clemson, it could be USC South Carolina, it could be USC Penn State, it could be USC Tennessee or USC Virginia Tech. So I just listed all 30 by virtue of going through that. But, I mean, you can change it. Say it's Michigan. Michigan's going to play Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan State, and Notre Dame every year. Michigan this year plays Washington, so say that's that team. Let's say instead of Michigan playing Wisconsin or Nebraska, who's in the Midwest, they're playing both this year, but and obviously you see Iowa. Say it's Michigan, Oklahoma State. How much fun is that? Michigan, Texas A&M, or Michigan, LSU. Those two have never played before. Michigan and LSU. Michigan and Miami. Or Michigan and Georgia. Michigan and Tennessee, or Michigan and Clemson. How much fun. And then you still have the three non-conference games. That allows for, say one of your rivalries, like Notre Dame-Boston College, Notre Dame-Navy. That's not a part of it, you know? That's not, they're not in the conference, but you can still have those as your non-conference games, right? You can still, that way it's still somewhat protected. Obviously, there's an issue with having USC and Stanford in one division for Notre Dame. Notre Dame would have to figure out how it's, I'm not going to allow them the exception of playing both of them. You just want to keep the USC one? Cool. I don't know. I think that is so much fun. And I know, RIP the rest of the conferences. poor like Indiana, poor like Purdue or Minnesota, Texas Tech or TCU. The schools that just weren't good enough. North Carolina, I'm sorry, I know you're emerging, you're right there, but sorry, you don't get to be a part of it. I went with Virginia Tech over you because Virginia Tech's actually done some stuff in the last 20 years. So, yeah, it would be disappointing for those other conferences. But the playoffs still would exist, 12 teams, let's say. It's going to be hard to get in, though, with that mega conference, man. I think it's so much fun. It would be bad because, yeah, it would make... Yeah, I don't want to make a group of five level of all these other schools, you know, that I just mentioned. Illinois, Northwestern. I mean, Northwestern's been really good. It's been the Big Ten championship twice in the last 3 years. But sorry, no, you're on the outside looking into this thing. All of that would still be fun, but I think this would be so much more fun. You're having essentially, it's like 9 bowl games in a regular season schedule. So I love it. Check it out over at WolverinesWire.USAtoday.com. I'm so stoked about it. Even though it's not reality, I still love it. I tried to mix, like, are they a blue blood? Then they're in. Are they a school that's got decent recent history? Then they're in. Does it geographically make sense? Then it's in. Right? I had a hard time putting Michigan State in. But recent history says they're in. And when I say recent, I don't mean like the last couple of years. I mean, hey, they won some Big Ten titles recently. Geographically, it makes sense. Michigan State stays a in-conference rivalry. Some of those teams aren't going to be very good. Texas in the same division with Alabama and LSU, which it very well might be if it's in the SEC. I don't see Texas getting much better. So some schools, South Carolina, Tennessee, they got some work to do. But I just love the idea. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Still plenty to talk about, although we're still about a week and a half away, 2 weeks away, whatever it is, week and a half, I believe, from August 6th when Michigan fall camp actually starts. But we still have a lot to parse through. I'm still parsing through Big Ten Media Day stuff, kind of slow jamming the news. So anyway, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Peace.